When Abraham was called by God to leave the Ur of Chaldees, he took his nephew with him, Lot. They began to travel together, and over time, they found that they could not dwell together because Abraham had a lot of livestock and a lot of herdsmen, and so did Lot. The Bible says that the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham began to strive against each other and fight against one another. And so Abraham said to Lot, Lot, let's do this. So there's no animosity, no problem. I want you to pick a way you go. You go one way, and whatever way you go, I'll go the other way. And the Bible records these very tragic words that Lot looked up and he saw the plains heading towards Sodom and Gomorrah, that they were well watered, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. I don't think I need to preach to you how wicked the city of Sodom and Gomorrah was, but the Bible's very clear. God destroyed that city for its wickedness. But Lot pitched his tent going that way. And when Lot would get to Sodom, he would find himself in the wrestling match of his own life. The Bible said that he vexed his own soul with the wickedness of that place. That he began to wrestle with things he wasn't supposed to wrestle with. His life became a struggle because he lived in an area and a place he wasn't supposed to be in. Have you ever been in a place you're not supposed to be, wrestling with junk you're not supposed to be wrestling with? Well, that's where Lot found himself. He found himself bound and caught up in a sinful place and ends up losing everything. When he went into Sodom and Gomorrah, he had livestock, he had herds, he had herdsmen, he had servants, he had children, he had a great family. When he left Sodom and Gomorrah, he had a backslidden wife and two wicked daughters, and his son-in-laws called him crazy, and they died in Sodom, and his wife turned to a pillar of salt. He lost everything because he didn't wrestle right. He lost the fight. Can I tell you, dear friend, that you're in the wrestling match of your life? You are fighting and fighting against evil spirits you cannot even fathom. If God was to open your eyes to see the demonic things that are taking place and the host of the enemy that is encamped in this country and all over this world, it would frighten you to death. But thanks be to God, he has blinded us to such things. Otherwise, we would be captivated with the fear of all of it. We are fighting for our lives. We are fighting against the enemy. And you need to make no mistake about it, my dear friend. You are wrestling. You are in a wrestling match this morning. Some of you are wrestling right now against the enemy in your life. Some of you have been wrestling for years. Some of you have been getting victory and then coming back and wrestling again. Some of you have been up and down in the fight. Some of you have been discouraged because it doesn't seem to want to leave you. Some of you get victory and you're praising God on the mountaintop, but you forget there's another valley coming and you forgot to fortify and be strong going through the valley ahead of you. And so you're finding yourself discouraged or maybe even depressed a little bit because you keep going up and down. But I'm telling you that God has called you to be a wrestler, and he said that he's going to give you the ability to stand against the enemy. And if he gives you that ability, then my dear friend, you can be an overcomer this morning. You can be an overcomer. And I want to speak to you about three things about wrestling. I'm talking about this word, we wrestle. We wrestle, all right? I want to talk about wrestling. The first thing I want to talk about is three aspects concerning the word wrestling. And the first thing you need to know is the sharpness of the combat. Wrestling is not a team sport. Have you noticed that? It's one-on-one. And it becomes very sharp. It's very sharp. Have you ever been in a wrestling match or you've been fighting the devil and you felt all alone? I've heard people say the devil's got a roar, but he don't have any teeth. They haven't been bit by the same devil I've been bit by. The devil's got teeth. The Bible says he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. That means he has the ability to do all three if we let him. He's come to do that. My dear friend, he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And when he gets in close, listen, he doesn't attack you from way back there. He attacks you right up in your life. He'll come right at your dinner table and attack you. He'll come right into your car and attack you. He'll come right up in your face. How do you think he's attacking your children? Why do you think he's attacking your children? He's attacking them because he's getting close into the battle. He knows how to get a grip on us and put his hands on us and bring us down. The enemy of your soul, he doesn't throw balls at you or bombs at you from a distance. He'll get right up into your life, into your business. Do you know how many fires I have to put out as a pastor because the devil comes to church, because he gets close and personal? He'll put a fire in this place and cause division in this house as quick as he can, as soon as he can, if we let him do so. But we have an ability through Christ to stand against him. Amen? There's a sharpness to this combat. And boy, when he gets a hold of you, brother, he gets a hold of you, you know he's got a hold of you. You know it. You get to wiggle and fight. And have you ever fought the devil and you felt like you're just trying to wiggle free? You're just trying to get some air? Have you ever gone up to get air and he pull you back down again? I'm telling you, the devil is constantly bombarding us. And so, Christian, you need to understand that you are in the wrestling match of your life, and it is a sharp, hard combat. And so you need to be armed and ready for the battle. The second thing you need to understand about the word wrestle is that no one is exempt from it. For Paul said, we wrestle. We wrestle. He doesn't even exclude himself. That means Pastor Bruce wrestles. That means you wrestle. Well, I'm not a preacher. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher. It doesn't matter if you're called to the fivefold ministry. If you're not a missionary, the devil doesn't care. If you're not a pastor, the devil doesn't care. You're not an evangelist, the devil doesn't care. Matter of fact, he wants to stop you from being anything God wants you to be. So his goal is to wrestle you and stop you. So your goal is to wrestle and continue. Amen. Your goal is to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Your goal is to keep wrestling against the enemy. Nobody is exempt from this. The devil doesn't care if you're a city official or if you're just a person who comes to church. He doesn't care if you work at Del Taco or if you work and own your own restaurant. He does not care. You are not exempt from this wrestling match. You're going to wrestle the enemy. Maybe you haven't wrestled him last week, but maybe you're going to wrestle him this week. Or maybe you've been wrestling him all year long. Nonetheless, every single one of us are going to find ourselves in the fight of our life, and we are not exempt from it, and we all wrestle. And Christian, you need to understand that the duration of this wrestling is until you reach heaven's gates. Everybody wants to get saved, and people who get saved, they say, oh, you're saved now, you're never going to struggle. Oh, fooey. You get saved and you're never going to experience a heartache or a trial or a temptation. They lied. You're going to. The duration of this combat is forever. Listen, I don't care if you've been saved for 50 years. You're still wrestling. You've been saved for 50 minutes. Guess what? You're about to wrestle. Amen? Every single one of us are wrestling. When you get saved, and I got saved, I was so surprised. I went outside the church and I told all my friends I got saved, and I got into the wrestling match of my life. The devil was not happy that I got saved. The devil is not happy that you're serving God. And so he wants to fight you and stop you because he's afraid of you. Listen, the enemy is afraid of you, not because of you, but because of the God that is inside of you. And he knows that if you stand up, he's got no ability to overcome you. He knows that. And so he wrestles against your fleshly tendencies and your carnality. He finds the areas of your life that is weak and faltering, and he picks on those areas because he knows he can't get you where God has fortified in your life. So you're going to have to learn to fortify the areas where you're weak. Amen? The duration of this. So quickly, three aspects concerning the word wrestle is the sharpness of the combat, how close and personal it becomes, how quick and sharp it happens. The enemy's described as coming in as a flood. A flood. Do you know what a flood does? A flood will shift your whole foundation, my dear friend. A flood will destroy the memories of your life. The flood will take something precious to you and completely demolish it and make it uninhabitable. The enemy will come into your life like a flood, but praise be to Jesus, God will raise up a standard against the enemy and stop him from destroying your life. Somebody give God praise for that. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. I want to talk about how not to wrestle. How not to wrestle. Don't wrestle against God's Spirit. Don't wrestle against God's Spirit. I felt his spirit in here this morning. Anybody else? Felt his touch this morning. Anybody else? Felt the rush of his, the Holy Ghost moving in the house. If you didn't feel it, turn your feelers on because they're broke. Amen? Because he's here. Praise the Lord. Get your mind back where it belongs because he's here this morning. Amen? And the Holy Spirit was moving this morning, blessing and encouraging and touching. God just, don't mind her. God just healed her of a tumor in her brain. So don't you mind her. She's got a reason to praise God. Amen? She's got a reason to give God glory. We got a reason this morning to give him the praise and the glory. Amen? When God, we don't wrestle against his spirit, but we are accepting and inviting his spirit. Paul said, don't grieve the spirit of God. But you know what we have done? We are so offended that people are, we're so worried about offending people that we've got to, that what we do is we take the Holy Spirit who has gifts and blessings and promises to add to the church where we could be healed in the church and nobody's being healed, or we could have miracles and we're not seeing them because people have taken the Holy Ghost and said, we understand the Bible says the Holy Spirit's for today, but he can only move back there in that back room. Oh no, my dear friend. The Holy Spirit is allowed to move in this place. He's allowed to move. He's allowed to have his way. He's allowed to speak into our hearts and lives. He is allowed to do what he wants to do. If he wants to interrupt, let him interrupt. If he wants to speak by tongues and interpretation, let him do it. If he wants to heal the sick, then oh God, heal the sick. If you want to do a miracle, God, do a miracle this morning. Whatever he wants to do, we're not wrestling against him. We're wrestling against evil spirits, and we're asking God to have his way. We're trying to loose the Holy Spirit in the house. We're trying to get him to come down. We want him to have his way. Is there anybody in the house that wants God to have his way? Is there anybody here who'll say, amen, I want the Lord to do it. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. What you did for Gideon, do it again. We're not going to bind you. We're going to loose you. What you did for Daniel, do it again, God. What you did for the three Hebrew children, do it again, God. God can do it again. Are you willing to let him do it again? Then you cannot wrestle against his spirit. Oh, we fight against it sometimes. Have you ever been in church and been convicted? Don't get mad when God gets on you. You need to be gotten on to. She can't right now. Don't mess up my sermon. Both of you two, I know you two. You two crazy. Amen. I know you two. Amen. I already said it. Praise the Lord. You ever been convicted in church? But then you fight against it? Oh, I know what that's like. That's wrestling against the Spirit of God. When the light of God's word shines in your life and exposes the area that needs to be dealt with between you and God, and you refuse to humble yourself and you harden your own heart and you turn away. I would be so afraid that if I could come to church and not feel the presence of God, that he would not convict me anymore, that he would not tell me right from wrong anymore. I would be afraid if God did not deal with my heart, if God didn't say, Bruce, you need to do a little better over here, or Bruce, you need to fix that over there, or hey, you need to pray a little more. I haven't heard from you like I need to hear from you, or I need you to get in your word a little more. If I didn't hear that, I would be so afraid that God had just forgotten me and said, I'm done with that one. But I'm so thankful. You should be praising God when he talks to you and deals with your heart and convicts your life. You should say, thank you, Lord, that you love me enough to still deal with me, that you haven't gotten rid of me, that you haven't thrown me away. Thank you, God, that you still love me, even though I've been foolish, even though I've run away from you, even though I've refused to serve you, you still constantly deal with me. Praise God that he still deals with humanity. Praise God. Don't fight against his spirit. If you get convicted, you get down in the altar and you repent. Don't fight against it. Accept him and receive him and be blessed this morning in the name of Jesus. Be blessed this morning. Oh, don't fight against his conviction. The second thing, don't fight against his commands. Don't wrestle against the commands of God. People are like, oh, serving God is for the old folks. No, it's not. No, God said, suffer the little children to come to me. God said, unless you become like a child, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. This is not about your age. This is not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not about that. You see that beautiful woman over there on the end? That's my gorgeous, wonderful, hot wife. I know she told me I'm not allowed to say that about her, but I love that woman so much. My being loves that woman. And you want to know what? That's why I don't flirt with other women. That's why I don't date other women. And that's why I'm not trying to find another woman, because I've got mine. Amen. And I'm happy and love mine. And because of that relationship with her, I don't want to offend that by flirting with some floozy. Amen. And so I don't flirt with the floozies because I love that woman. Amen. I don't mess around because I love that woman. My relationship with her dictates, my love dictates my how I serve her and how I honor her. And if you love Jesus, Jesus said, if you love me, 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 I said, if you love me, then keep my commandments. Note in that verse that the motivation of following God's commands is the motivation of love. It's your love, my dear friend, not God's love. It's your love. It's one thing to say God loves you. It's a whole nother thing to say you love God. You love God. The commands of God are not against you, but for you. God doesn't give evil commands just to say a command. Do you know in the Old Testament, God gave a command of washing hands? Washing hands. And you would think, how silly is that? The God of the universe saying, wash your hands. Because God knew that in this earth, there's these things called germs. And in the Old Testament, they didn't know about germs. They didn't have microscopes. They didn't have the doctors that figured out what germs can do and how it can cause sicknesses and some microscopic thing could get in your body and kill you. They didn't understand it, but God knew. And so he said, hey, because I love you, I want you to wash your hands. He gave a command not to touch anything dead. You know why? Because the dead thing can cause you to be the next dead thing. And so he said, all his commands are commands of love for you and I. And so why would we fight against the one who loves us? If God saw it and he said, this is evil, this isn't right, this is wrong, God knows it'll mess you up. And that's why he said, don't do this. His don'ts are not to hurt you, but to bless you and to encourage you. But his blessings are even greater than his don'ts. When God blesses you, it's the most wonderful thing that'll ever happen to your life. His promises even outweigh his don'ts, don't they? Hallelujah. Don't wrestle against his spirit. Don't wrestle against his commands. And thirdly, don't be confused on whom you're wrestling. You're not wrestling that brother or sister next to you. But I've seen it happen. We get confused and we start dealing with somebody else in the church. We start fussing with somebody in the church. I've seen it happen all constantly. I've seen it happen in church. Someone gets mad at somebody else. Well, sister so-and-so did this and said that and made me mad and angry and I'm bitter and I'm upset about it. Brother so-and-so gave me that, rolled his eyes at me. And now I'm just mad and frustrated and I'm going to go to church, but I'm not shaking their hand. I'm gonna avoid them. I'm just gonna avoid them. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm still gonna honor God, but I'm not gonna honor them. And we see it in church time and time again. And what you don't understand is that you are probably being tormented by an evil spirit trying to stop you from connecting with a brother or sister in Christ. What you don't understand is you're not fighting flesh and blood. Even though the enemy makes it about flesh and blood, it's not about flesh and blood. You're not fighting your children. You're not fighting the next Christian. You're fighting something evil. The devil is attacking you and can attack you through all kinds of avenues. Isn't it amazing that in one breath, Peter can say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in the very next breath, he can say, you're not going to the cross. And Jesus has to say, I rebuke you, Satan. It happens that quick, Christian. It happens that fast that somebody who's supposed to love you and honor you and protect you can say something that offends you and hurts you. Have you ever been hurt in church? It ain't the last time, so get over the last one. You're going to have to get past it, because if you don't, it's going to kill you.
You're going to have to learn to rise above it, because if you don't, you're going to find yourself being beat back and defeated by this devil, because he wants you to focus on brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so when you need to be focusing on what devil is attacking you.
Because when the devil gets into your heart, it's not about that person, it's about you. The devil's not wrestling the friend that you're mad at or the person that you're angry at. He's wrestling you. He's wrestling you. And he wants to pin you down and stop you. Notice this, that your anger and frustration isn't really affecting the person you're angry at. It only affects you. It only messes with you. You're the one acting all different when they walk in the room. You're the one angry and frustrated about it. You're the one who won't accept the forgiveness of it. You're the one doing it. So let me say this. Is it possible that the problem is you? Is it possible that the problem isn't the person you're angry at, but you? I've told this story before. I'm going to just say parts of it this morning for the sake of time. I had a guy that him and I just did not mix. I mean, he's like oil and water. I mean, he would say things condescending to me, belittle me, attack me. And some of the things he did was just hurtful. And I remember I got saved, and I had to deal with this brother on a constant basis because he was a Christian. I was a Christian. We went to the same church, and I couldn't tell him to leave, even though I wanted to tell him he needed to leave. But I couldn't do that. I couldn't leave myself because that's where God wanted me to go. And so here I am sitting in the church, and he would sit over there, and I'd sit over here, and I'd look over and go, I don't like that guy. Matter of fact, I avoided him because I knew he would be a condescending jerk to me. I knew he would. And you know what? I was praying for him, and I started praying, God, get him. Fix him. Come on. Don't act like you never do it. Right? Have you ever prayed, God, fix him? Fix them, Lord. They got problems. We call that shovel disease. We shovel the stuff that we need to be dealing with back there. Amen? Put it behind us, amen, when we need to be focused on us. And I the Holy Spirit dealt with my heart and said, I want you to pray that I'll bless him. And so he was looking for a good job, and I started praying. I prayed for him, and you know what God did? God blessed him with a good job. That job not only was so good for him, they gave him a brand new car so he could do the job. They blessed him with a great salary. And I was like stalking sheetrock and making bare minimum money. And God gave him a job, you know, making over $80,000 a year. And I'm like, so I went back to prayer. And then he got up and testified. He said, I'm seeking for the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Spirit. I want God to fill me with the Spirit of God. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll pray for that. So I started praying, God, fill him with the Holy Ghost. You want to know what God did? Filled him with the Holy Ghost. Gloriously, too. I mean, gloriously filled him. He just dancing, hooping, hollering, shouting. And I would go home and go, what? But you want to know something that happened? You want to know what happened? In the course of time, am I praying with him, praying for him, something changed in me. Now, I'm going to say something. I don't mean it mean. He is still a condescending jerk to me. He still says things that rub me wrong. I'm not being offensive. That is the absolute truth. And if I told you some of the things that he said, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. But you know what? When he does that now, it does not penetrate. Something changed in me. So quit looking at someone else that needs to be fixed and start looking at you, because you're probably the one broke down. Amen. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against evil spirits, and the enemy wants to fight with you. One of the things I like to watch boxing. Who here likes boxing? How about MMA fighting? Praise be to Jesus. I like my MMA fighting. I love that stuff. And one of the things I like to watch is the ultimate knockouts. How many have ever seen ultimate knockouts? Yeah, those are the best. And one of the things I notice when a person gets punched hard enough, he becomes delirious. And what happens is, oftentimes, they will start fighting with the ref and not realizing they're fighting the ref.
Have you seen it? Any men in here seen that where they're wrestling, they get knocked out and they're like delirious, and next thing you know, the guy's fighting, holding on to the ref's leg when the ref's trying to break it up? That's what happens when the church, when someone in the church gets hit and they start wrestling with other people in this place and they start fighting. They're delirious. They're confused. They're fighting the wrong person. They've got the wrong person in a grip when they need to be fighting against the evil spirit that has been coming against them and their family and their lives. Amen. I got a verse for this, and I gotta be quick. Let me give you this verse. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. The people were carnally minded. Paul said to the Corinthian church, I want to talk to you about spiritual things, but you're too carnal. I have to fix your problems because you're too carnal. He says, as to babes in Christ, you're like babies in Christ. I feed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. He says, you're like babes. I can't feed you. You know, I don't mind. I said this in the first service, going to say it again. I don't mind feeding babies. I just don't want to pull your dentures out when I do it. Amen. There comes a point where you have to grow up. There comes a point where you got to put the world behind and put Jesus in front. There comes a point where you got to pick up your cross and like a big person, follow him. There comes a point where you got to quit being a baby about it and whining and crying all the time and start standing firm against him. Amen. Now look at this. For you are still carnal. For here, what is the carnality that Paul's talking about? It's right here in the end of the verse. For where there are envy. Come on now. Strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Aren't you carnal when you act like this? When you let envy and strife and divisions get in you, it's not the other person that's carnally minded. It becomes you. So Christian, guard your heart. Don't wrestle against the Spirit of God. Don't wrestle against the commands of God. And don't wrestle other people. Realize who you're fighting. Realize it. Now let me give you how to wrestle and then I'm done. How to wrestle, then I'm done. Wrestle with the Lord in your corner. You got the greatest tag team partner you could ever have. The devil looks across the ring and he looks over there and he sees God in your corner. He knows he's already beat. He knows it's already over before he ever stepped into the mat. He knows that whatever he brings against you, there's a countermeasure in the spirit that can overcome him. He knows that a simple cry out to God will make God get up off the bench, get in the ring, and pin him down for you. He knows that if you cry out to God, you've got a support system that cannot be matched in this world. You have a support, and God is that support. If you don't have Jesus in your heart and life, get him in your heart and life. One of the problems you're having is you're running from God and not running to God. Get Christ in your life. Keep God close. Don't put him at a distance. Don't say, yeah, I know who he is, but I'm not really serving him. I mean, know him and serve him and be close to him. Because if you are, you're going to find that you can't be defeated by this devil. You need the Lord in your corner. You need him close to you. You need him fighting for you. And if God be for you, church, who can? Who can be against you? If God is on your side, you are not defeated. Even if you've been hit and put down, you're not destroyed. You will arise because God is with you and for you. So when you wrestle, keep God in your corner. If you find yourself in a wrestling match against the enemy, or maybe against temptations or accusations or things that are coming against you, and you find yourself in the grip of the enemy, what you need to do is say, God, I'm right here. I need a helping hand. Oh, I'm telling you, there have been times in my Christian walk where I needed God's help. Aren't you glad the Bible said the Lord will help you? The Bible says the Lord will help you. God said that. He's a help in the time of need. How many are glad that when you're in need, he's got the help that you need? He's got the source of power that you need. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by his spirit, saith the Lord. And when his spirit is with you, you are an overcomer. Yeah, you are more than an overcomer through Christ Jesus this morning. Amen. You are an overcomer. God, let me tell you something. God waits for you to call him in.
God's waiting. Some of you haven't called him in, but God's waiting. What did Jacob do when Laban was behind him and Esau was in front of him? He called on God. He called on God. God is the one we need in our corner. What did Moses say when God said, I'll send my angel, but I'm not going with you guys, you stiff-necked, hard-hearted people. I'm not going with them up in the promised land. I'll send an angel. What did Moses say? He said, if you don't go, we don't go. You have to go with us. We can't settle for anything else but the Lord in our corner. Number two, stay in training. Stay in training. What I mean by that is get in your word. Don't get flabby, Christian. Don't get flabby. Don't get too relaxed. Quit eating them potato chips and sitting on the recliner at home when you should be in the house of God. I almost did a Holy Ghost jig right there, I swear. It almost came over me. When you should be where God wants you to be there. Stay in training. Don't be afraid if God says, I want you to wake up at 5 in the morning and say a prayer and talk to me and have a devotion with me. Get up and do it. Stay in training and let God fill your heart and mind. Don't be so slack and lackadaisical that you will not let God move in you. There's a lot of people that want to do great things for God, but they're too spiritually lazy to do it. They won't actually get up and do it. Christian, God wants you to get up and do it. Listen, the ancient wrestlers, old wrestlers, they used to oil themselves up, get themselves really oiled. That way when the enemy that they were fighting or the person they were wrestling against, they had a hard time gripping them. They became too slippery. And every time the opponent would wrap their arms around their head, they were able to slip out because the oil was on their head. And when the enemy would grab their arms, they couldn't hold them or keep them because they were too slippery. You know what? Some of you need to become slippery Christians. Slippery people. You need to be so slick. So slick. You know how you get slick? You let the Holy Ghost touch you. That's how you get slick. Amen. How many have ever come to church beat down and wore out and the devil's fought you tooth and nail? You've been going back and forth, up and down, fighting the devil, and then you come to church and the Holy Ghost comes down and touches you, and all of a sudden, slip, you fell right out of his hand. Aren't you glad that the Lord knows how to make his people slippery? Amen. Some of you need to slip right out of the devil, get another touch. But you're not needing me to give you a fancy word. We're not needing a humdinger of a service. You're not needing lightning from the sky to come down and strike in your life. What you need to do is get up off your blessed assurance, get down in the altar, and say, God, I come to get what you have for me. I want my blessing. I want my strength. And that's when you're going to get it. Everyone's waiting for some great, magnificent move. Listen, I love it when the Holy Ghost comes like that and everybody knows and everybody feels. But you know what God's doing? He's waiting for you to say, I want you so bad that I will not be satisfied with just a little touch. I want you so much that I'm going to get down there and I'm going to get what I need from you. And at that moment, you know what you're doing? You're staying in training when you go and answer an altar call because you're hungry. And you're thirsty and you need a touch from God. Stay in training. Get in there. Get under the spout where the glory comes out, they used to say. Get what you need from God and quit counting. Quit waiting on someone else to give it to you. Quit waiting on it. A baby needs to be fed. A Christian knows how to eat. Should I say it again? A baby needs to be fed. A Christian knows how to eat. Somebody tweet it or put it on Facebook. It needs to be said to many people. Are you going to be eating this morning, or am I going to have to keep feeding you every Sunday? Are you going to answer the call, or are you going to keep listening to it? What are you going to do with it? You're going to have to do something, and you stay in training. Christian, we know how to get in the kitchen and cook a good meal, don't we? Some of you adults, I've eaten some of your food. I know you know how to cook. Sister Carolyn, where you at? I saw you here. There you are. She makes the meanest pork chili verde. Is that right? I say it right? When we go to heaven, God's going to tell her to make that. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. I don't see Sister Melina, but she makes tamales that make your tongue smack your face. I mean, it's that good. That good. And Pastor Jesus, he's not here. He's going to be preaching in the 2 o'clock service over there. But Pastor Jesus, he knows how to marinate carne asada that'll just make your head spin. I mean, it's the most amazing meat you'll ever eat in your life. I don't have one taco. I have 10 tacos when he makes them. That way, if I don't finish them, I just take the meat and pour them off the shell, take the meat home. Amen. We know how to cook when we want to eat. My dear friend, how come you haven't learned how to touch God yet? How come you haven't learned how to pray through yet? How come you haven't learned how to get in there and receive what God has for you? It's because you refuse to stay in the training. As you stay in training, you learn how to feast on God. You learn how to be renewed in God. You learn how to be revived in God. And then the song leader doesn't have to pump and prime you to praise. You're ready to praise. You're ready to praise. Amen? Last and final thing, and then I got to quit. Who cares? Amen? When the enemy's down, keep him there. One thing you need to know about your enemy is after you put him down, there needs to be a declared victory. God needs to go, 1, 2, 3, you're out. God needs to do a countdown on him. Because what ends up happening, Christian, is we put him down and we forget to keep him down. Sometimes you got to keep that foot on him. Keep the pressure on him. Keep him put down. Because if you don't, what ends up happening is he goes and regroups. Have you ever faced the devil who's regrouped against you? Have you ever put down a temptation that reared up its ugly head when you were in the privacy of your own life? Come on now. I'm not preaching the church down there. I'm preaching right here. And it happens day in and day out. The devil will regroup against you. And so you can't just put him down one time. You got to keep putting him down. You got to keep putting him down. And there are times where you need God to just count him out. There are times, I'm so thankful when the Lord comes and gives a victory, a complete victory, where the devil is completely put down. How many ever had God do that for you? Where God just puts him down and counts him out. But there are times in your life he's going to come back and you're going to have to put him down again. So you're going to have to learn to keep him there. You're going to have to learn to keep him down. Don't let the enemy get back up in your life. Don't let him take the ground that you've already taken back. It's a horrible thing when God gives you victory and the enemy goes away and comes back and sees that it's swept and varnished and he takes in and he goes and gets more evil spirits and regroups himself against you. Fortify your life. If you know you're weak in an area, strengthen that area. Strengthen that area. Men, if you can't handle being in front of a computer alone, don't. Don't. If you can't handle being on the phone alone, don't. If you have a problem with your cussing and swearing and hoofing and hollering and fighting and yelling, learn how to control your tongue. Bite it. Like this. Bite it. Don't say it. Well, the Bible doesn't say nothing about cursing. I guess it does. Put away from you a forward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from you. That's what the Bible says. And I got more. That's just the one I got memorized. God wants you to control these areas. And that's what God wants to equip us, because he wants us to stand against him. And so you're going to fight the enemy. Really quick recap. So three aspects concerning the word wrestle: the sharpness of the combat. No one is exempt from wrestling. The duration of the combat. How not to wrestle. Don't wrestle against God's spirit. Don't wrestle against God's commands. And don't be confused to whom you're wrestling. Number three, how to wrestle. Wrestle with the Lord in your corner. Stay in training. And when the enemy is down, keep him there. Keep him there. Christian, you are fighting. You are fighting. You are in a war, whether you want to admit it or not. You are in a war. You're in a war to be faithful. Isn't it amazing? Every time you make a stand to be committed to God, how the enemy makes a stand to fight you to not be committed to God. How many ever make commitments to God, and next thing you know, you're in a war, and you forget the commitments because the war was too much? Happens time and time again. Don't let the enemy sidetrack you. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it.